This is Lightning Playoff Rewind.
The Lillard losing Matthew Tkachuk. Looks to center and loose in front. Score, Verhaeghe. Verhaeghe outweighed Vasilevsky, went wide to his backhand and chipped it in. Verhaeghe, who has been an overtime killer for opposition teams, wins it for the Panthers. They win game 2-3-2, and they lead the series 2-0.
I thought we were a little unfortunate in the first with some of the bounces that weren't going our way, but you know, we started the game off much better. We didn't have the shots to show for it, but you know, when we pushed and we, you know, shot pucks and created scrambles and played in their end, that's when we had success. So we got to try to find a way to continue to do that.
Unfortunately for us, you know, we're finding ourselves behind in both games. So it's a tough league to come back in, and especially in the playoffs. And so I think there's, you know, times during the game where I'm looking back like, wow, these guys are coming at us. And there's definitely times in the game where Paul's going, holy cow, how are we going to stop this? And so it's kind of been that kind of series, but it would have been nice to get the lead at one of those points. And we had, again, just like we did in game one, we had opportunities to get the lead, like phenomenal opportunities, and we didn't. And, you know, now you're playing with fire a little bit, and unfortunately burned us tonight.
To break down yesterday's playoff action, here's Bobby Fenton on Lightning Radio 24/7 on the Lightning mobile app.
And thank you for joining us. Welcome to kind of a bummer edition of Lightning Playoff Rewind. Bobby Fenton here as the Lightning trail the series against the Panthers 2-0 after the overtime loss last night. The Lightning's 11th out of the last 12 that they have lost that have gone to overtime in the playoffs, and 6th in a row on top of that. And it's one of those games, anytime it goes to overtime, it's one of those games where you think back to all the chances there were where it could have gone the other way. It didn't. And yet it also, and we'll talk about this on the show, did not feel like one of those random type of outcomes as well, because the Panthers, relentless in their forecheck all the way through the game up to and including on the game winner, all 3 minutes of overtime as well, and the Lightning just could never get out of their own zone with a couple of different chances to clear. That was just the game winner, though. There were other things that happened all night. In fact, this was a very eventful game, and we have a lot to get to on the show today, because the Lightning, at the very least, you know, showed a lot of comeback grit. They were down 2-0. It felt like right then and there things might get out of hand, and instead they came back with a very strong second period to tie it up, and of course, multiple chances after that, which we'll get to as well. But thank you for joining us here on the show today. Again, I'm Bobby Fenton, joined by my partner and friend and the producer of the Lightning Audio Network, Steve Versnick. Steve, how you doing this morning, buddy?
Well, it could be better, but, yep. You know, the series doesn't start till the home team loses, so. But
yeah,
the Lightning have to win 4 out of 5 now.
Yeah. Yeah, I know people say that. That's a popular saying, always has been, the series doesn't start till the road team wins a game. And listen, we've seen it before. I'll say this much. We didn't call this a must-win game the other day, rightfully so, because game 2 of a series can never be a must-win game. But it's one thing when you get down 2-0 and you're the better team, you're the higher seed, you're the favorite, whatever you want to call it, and maybe you're playing pretty evenly and things just don't go your way. Even if you don't play evenly, you're still a team that you know you're the better team. You can step up and do this. When you're already an underdog to begin with, when you're going up against a team as good as Florida, and now you've spotted them a 2-0 lead, that feels a little bit different. Although I will say this, Steve. Last night, you don't have to go back very far in history to see instances of this. You only have to go back to last season. The Bruins were that team last year. They were the President's Cup winners, playing the upstart, last team to get in, Panthers, and they led that series 2-1, and game 4 was absolutely, in my mind, a flat-out must-win game for the underdog, and they lost it, and it was 3-1, not just 3-1, but in favor of the Goliath playing against the David, and still the Panthers came back and won 3 straight games in that series and ended up winning it in 7. So if that can happen, then certainly, I'm not going to dismiss the possibility of it happening again here. But yeah, that one, like I said, it's one thing when you're, okay, hey, we're the better team here, but the Panthers are really, really good, and they've looked better than the Lightning through 2 games. And I know that one could have gone either way tonight. It definitely could have. But even still, it probably should have been worse. We'll talk about the Bobrovsky save on Dumba, but I thought Vasilevsky overall bailed the Lightning out far more than Bobrovsky did. And I think that game, you know, the deserved to win a meter, Steve, was like 75-25 for both of these games. The Panthers are skating circles around the Lightning right now, it feels like.
Well, their forecheck has been tough for the Lightning, particularly in the first period.
Yep.
The Lightning talked in between games one and two about need a better start. And while I think they probably played better in the first than they did the other night, still not getting anywhere near enough shots on net.
No, it wasn't a good start. I mean, it was not as bad as the other night, but still wasn't a good start.
Right.
Overwhelmed at first.
Right. And you were down 2-0 going to the first intermission. And you had three shots on net. Three. After 2 days of talking about, we need a better start. Now, some of that is Florida. They came out both games with an intense forecheck, and it gave the Lightning fits. And they've made adjustments throughout the game, and they got better as the games went along, both games one and two. But as John Cooper said, it's not good enough yet. And it isn't. And that's why you're down 0-2 in the series.
Yeah, and listen, I mean, I know they're trying. I'm not saying they didn't get themselves mentally prepared to play or anything like that, but the Panthers were just really good, man. And I mean, they were the overtime goal and the whole overtime session kind of, to me, told the tale. I mean, if you watch that goal from, like, not just right when they scored, but, you know, the 30 seconds leading up to it, the Lightning get a clear both times. Well, first they got a clear, got over the blue line just barely, but then the Panthers are right there. They dump it back in, but still all they did was dump it in. And it wasn't like they carried it into the zone. Lightning still controlled the puck behind their own net. Lightning get it out again. Panthers stop them. And again, Panthers just dump it in. It didn't carry the puck in the zone. Didn't have possession. Lightning have the puck deep. But the forecheck, I mean, it's out of control. And it was one of those things. I mean, the OT winner, I think it was Lilleberg that had a shot at it over along the wall on the near side. But the Panthers were buzzing, knocked it away, kept it in. And it's like, yeah, that's not random. Like, you can't play hockey like that over and over. And it was happening toward the end of the third period as well. And Vasilevsky made some incredible saves. I know that save that Bobrovsky made, first of all, not going to take anything away from him. You can have both a great save and a lucky save when your back is to the play and you know the net's open and you just throw your, you know, arm in front of a part of the net and that happens to be where the puck goes. A great save and everything. But I thought the flurry Vasilevsky had a few minutes later was even better goaltending. And if you look at the expected goal, I mean, both guys saved above the expected goals. They did a good job tonight. But
there's no question the Bobrovsky one was lucky. But he put himself in a position to be lucky. Like, that's good goaltending. He didn't take himself out of the play. He still put himself in a position to possibly make a play. I mean, there's a lot of Vasilevsky saves over the years that have been lucky, too, but he was in a good position. You know, the catch behind his back. There's some luck to that.
Oh, yeah. No, I remember that. There certainly is.
I mean, you know, granted, he put the glove there trying to stop it. But, you know, I mean, there's always some luck with it. That's not taking anything away from any of those guys.
No. And I don't fault Dumba at all. I mean, it wasn't like, you know, if somebody said, oh, you got to bury that. I mean, I think he put it exactly where I would have tried to put it. I mean, well, I don't think he, you know. It's
the shame of it is that you're taught, get it in the air, get it in the air.
Right.
Had he just slid it on the ice, it's a goal.
Yeah.
But that's what you're supposed to do in the situation, because generally the goalie protects the lower part of the net at those. And so your job is to get it up in the air.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's a wide open net. It shouldn't even matter, you know. Yeah. But, yeah. And I was literally, like, I was watching the game in my living room, and I literally, before the goal was scored, this is, I don't even usually do this, but before the goal was scored, I stood up and I put my arm in the air, and I started a little crow hop. Like, I was literally celebrating the goal before it even happened, because the puck's laying there on the ice. Bobrovsky's completely out of pocket, and it's an easy goal. So I'm like stepping into my Tiger fist pump, like my crow hop. And then, like, that happened. And so, you know, at the time, you think, okay, hey, no big deal, you know, and you don't think there's not going to be any more goals scored until overtime at that point, but that's what happened. And I thought overall, though, the second period was the best period the Lightning played in this whole, I mean, there's been six and change periods so far in this series, but I was really impressed with the second period. If you're looking for any bright spots, because things felt really bad in that first intermission, and it would have been easy for the Lightning to kind of show that with bad body language or not have the pep in their step or something like that. And you always expect a little bit of pushback, but they played really well in the second period, even better. I know they came back and made the game close in game one as well, but it still never felt that way. Last night, it really did. Like, that was a good second period. It was the first time where I thought to myself, yeah, they're going to win. I thought they were going to win that game last night after the second period.
I mean, you definitely, you know, momentum, while it doesn't necessarily go from game to game, it goes within a game. And, you know, the Panthers had all the momentum in the first period. And, you know, the ice was tilted, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
But then the Lightning came out, and when you score in the first minute, the second period, and all of a sudden you cut that lead from 2-0 to 2-1. And, you know, then you get a power play and Stamkos buries the shot. Like, you felt like maybe the Bobrovsky save stole some of that momentum away or gave Florida a little pep. Because they went down and started peppering Vasilevskiy after that. And he was fantastic.
He's been great. I mean, of all the big question marks before the series, we're getting everything you could possibly ask for from him. I mean, and if you told me that before the series, I'd say, well, we're probably going to be at worst 1-1. But the Panthers are overcoming it and still winning these games.
Because Bobrovsky's been just as good, too.
And he has, yeah. I mean, he's been really good, too. Both goaltenders have been good. The Lightning have allowed a few more high danger chances than the Panthers have, and that's probably the difference because the Panthers are just converting on more opportunities, and the Lightning are not getting as many, but they're converting too when they do get them. But yeah, I mean, both goaltenders have been really good so far. And I mean, let's go back to the top of the game, first of all.
Mm-hmm.
Lightning totally get overwhelmed. Like we said in game one, same thing happened in game two. And so they finally get a goal. I have no issue, even right when it happened in real time on that first goal, I said, I need to see one replay. In real time, it was hard to tell, but the minute I saw one replay, I was like, oh yeah, Hagel pushed him. I know some people on Twitter are complaining. I have no complaints about that whatsoever. If that had happened the other way, I would have been mad about it if it was against the Lightning.
I think there's two things. I think Hagel pushed him, but also Vasilevskiy was out of the crease.
Yeah, that too. Yeah.
I mean, his half his body is out of the crease, and the part of the body that got hit was out of the crease. I'm a little surprised they did challenge that. Although,
yeah, I mean,
maybe you're just trying to stop the onslaught because Florida was dominating. Although now you went on the penalty kill, and granted, you killed it off.
Yeah, but still, you take that risk, and they've got the tablets. And yeah, watching it one time, I was like, "There's no way they're overturning that." So, and they did kill the ensuing power play, like you said. But I had no issue with the call there. So then it's 1-0. Then it happened again, just like game one, really bad penalty call. And I know these games have been, you know, Florida has outplayed the Lightning both games, but that's kind of the point. Florida's really good. They don't need any extra help. Like, it's hard enough to try and skate with these guys, all things even. But we're giving them one free power play a game so far on atrocious calls. And today it was Chafee who gets called.
Yeah, that was a bad call.
When two guys are just skating next to each other and one guy loses his footing. And they score on that penalty, just like they did on the Nick Paul penalty in game one. They score on that power play. And I'm telling you, man, the worse the call is, the more of a feeling you get. Like, they feel like there's an inverse relationship between how bad the call is and the likelihood.
Well, the shame of that one is, what, you were a minute 56 into it. You almost killed it off.
Yeah, but not quite.
Yep.
And so, at that point, that was probably the low point of the series, besides the overtime call, which would come later on. And then the Lightning come back, the Braden Point goal, like you said, early in the second period, and it was Duclair taking a shot over there from the right point that at first, I think, we couldn't tell, but then Point did get a piece of it and redirect that through to make it 2-1. The Stamkos shot was just stellar, man. I mean, it was so cool to watch in slow motion. Even in slow motion, it looked fast, though, from the left circle, his traditional spot, and just gets a laser, not a ton of net to shoot at, and he buried that one. And like I always say, I'm not a big momentum guy. I think it's way overrated. I think events happen all the time in chains. Sometimes, you know, a good thing happens six times in a row. Sometimes a good thing goes and then a bad thing goes and it alternates and nobody ever talks about it. They just say momentum when they see the times when everything But if you want to talk about momentum, it's as close as I'll come to feeling like it's real, was when Stamkos scored to make it 2-2. Like, I felt like 10 feet tall. I was like, okay, Lightning are winning tonight.
Well, maybe I know you don't believe in momentum, but maybe it's confidence. And that may be a better way to say momentum. I mean,
yeah, sure. I'll give you that.
In sports, you have to, you know, when you go to take a shot, you go to swing, take an at bat, you go to make a pitch, you go to take, you know, run a snap in football, whatever. I mean, if, you know, your mental state, your confidence impacts or can impact the way things are. If you go in, if you go up to take a shot and you go, I don't think I'm going to make this, you know, it's going to affect the way you take it compared to I'm burying this shot. Like, confidence is important in sports. And when you start playing better as a team, you kind of get that confidence and you build off it. You see it in dugouts and benches and locker rooms all the time. You know, so whether you want to call it momentum or confidence, I think it's real. Like I said, I don't know if it all carries over game to game to game per se, although confidence can, for particularly individual players. But
yeah, I see what you mean.
Yeah.
I see what you mean. I mean, basically what momentum means is the belief that something is more likely to happen because of what has already happened. And I don't believe in that much. I know what you're saying about the hot hand.
Well, I think it, but if all of a sudden the team starts believing they can do this better, that confidence, then, you know, you go and play a different style of game and that maybe make it more likely you're going to score a goal or hit a home run or whatever, you know, whatever the sport you're playing is.
Yeah. And that's how you bring that up. That's interesting. My son, you know, he plays baseball and I take him over to Jason Michaels. He used to play for the Phillies. He's from Tampa.
Yep.
But he gives hitting lessons now. So my son goes over there. So we're talking about in the on deck circle. Cause you know, a guy swing the heavy bat in the on deck circle. And then you pick up your normal bat and it feels like a toothpick because you've been swinging the heavier bat. But they actually did a study about that, and swinging the heavier bat, it's a very, very small effect, but it fatigues your muscles like you're used to swinging the heavy thing. It actually slows your swing down a little bit, even though it feels really fast because the bat feels so light. And I told Michaels about that. I was like, hey, man, like, what do you think of this? Like, it actually, and he's like, well, it doesn't really matter. It's not enough of an effect, number one. Number two, the bat feels so light in your hands that you feel more aggressive. You feel, you know, more like you have a faster swing. And he's like, that part can't be underrated. And I said, you know, you're right about that. I mean, I'm always a big numbers guy. If it tells me I'm swinging a tenth of a mile an hour slower, I don't want to do it. But yes, I do know that feeling when you're swinging the big heavy bat and you pick up the other one, you feel like you could swing the thing 1,000 miles an hour. So yeah, maybe there's something to that. I get it. And the Lightning did continue to play well, even though they didn't score again after the Stamkos power play goal to make it 2-2, and then a series of huge saves by both goaltenders, like we've been talking about, was pretty much the story of the next period and a half. Although the Lightning in the final 10 minutes of regulation, I thought were lucky. I mean, there were several really good chances there, and the Panthers didn't convert. Vasilevsky overall, I mean, I'll do numbers in a little bit, but Vasilevsky overall, expected goals against, well, this is always fun when you have you guess. He gave up 3 goals. What do you think Florida's expected or Vasilevsky's expected goals against was tonight?
I'll say it's over 5.
It was 4.8, so he saved 1.8 above expected. And yeah, it did feel like more. I would have guessed more as well. And then for Bobrovsky, who allowed 2 goals, what do you think his expected goals against was?
I'll say it's close to 4.
3.148.
Okay.
So, and he made, you know, obviously the big one was the one we've talked about. I need to look up, I have to figure out a way to look up the expected goals on individual shots. And it tells you for the goals on moneypuck.com. And none of the goals had a high expected goals on them themselves. But I would like to know the expected goals on the Dumba shot because, I mean, wait, it's got to be 0.8, right? I mean, 0.9 maybe, something like that. Like, what's the highest expected goals on a shot that still got saved, I wonder, ever? I don't know. But that's got to be close. And then the Lightning weathered the storm a little bit, but overtime was no different. And then it ended how it ended. So looking at
by
the Lightning
way, Carter
now,
Verhaeghe is now tied for third most playoff overtime goals ever.
Ever?
Ever.
That's a great. I mean, he hasn't been around that long. I mean, he's getting a little older now.
He's got 5 of them now.
Man.
He's tied with, I mean, when you start looking at the, and I'm going to look it up here.
Yeah.
As soon as my computer comes up, I don't remember the list offhand.
No, you can look it up for a second.
Joe Sakic has 8. That's the most.
Okay. That's the winner.
Maurice Richard has 6.
Okay.
And then he's tied with Glenn Anderson, Corey Perry, and Patrick Kane.
Wow. So two of those guys played for the Lightning. I don't believe, I don't believe either of them had any of their overtime winners with the Lightning.
Yeah. And I believe the Panthers, that's their 11th straight postseason overtime win.
Yeah, they've won 11 in a row in overtime. The Lightning have lost 11 of 12. And I know it's random. I mean, it really is random. The Lightning, you know, I'll do the whole numbers thing later, but the Lightning are now 22-20 all time in overtime, going 1-11. You know, they were 21-9 at one point. I mean, they were just money in overtime. Even going back to their first ever playoff series in 96, they lost 4-2 to the Flyers, but both of the wins were in overtime,
yeah,
including one of my favorite. You played the clip the other day. In fact, one of my favorite games of all time, Game 3, the first ever home playoff game at for the Lightning at the
Selivanov in overtime.
Selivanov won it. Brian Bellows, people forget, Bellows tied that game with like 48 seconds left or something, and then they won in overtime. 30,000 people at the Trop. It was unbelievable. And yeah, so I mean, they started out, I think they were, they didn't lose a game in overtime for like the first decade of the franchise. They didn't have a million playoff games. But yeah, so, you know, they were red hot at that point. And then even up to the bubble, they were 6-2 in overtime in the bubble when they won the Stanley Cup in 2020 between Toronto and Edmonton. And then, of course, they lost the very last one there to Dallas, which would have been the Cup winner. But instead, they lost and they had to win the next game to win the Cup. And they have only won one other one since, losing 11 of 12. And I mean, I don't, do you think it's anything other than random? I mean, tonight wasn't random, but I think overall this stuff, I mean, overtime is a coin flip most of the time. And, you know, whether it's random or not, though, how much of a psychological thing is it now in the event we even get to another overtime game, having had this type of stretch in overtime lately?
I don't know if there's anything mental with it, but I think it's just the style of play per se. Like the Lightning, like the Panthers, who they played tonight, is a great forechecking team. So when you get to overtime, that's key.
Yeah.
Like causing turnovers and you know, you're just trying to put anything at net. Where the Lightning's style of play, they're not as good on the forecheck as they used to be. A lot of it's attrition of players, et cetera. But they also don't shoot a lot. And, you know, you need to just start putting more. The Lightning, quite frankly, need to put more pucks on net. They had 23 shots in 63 minutes of play.
Yeah.
That's not good enough.
Yeah. And in game one, they, at least, I don't know if this is a good thing, but they took a lot of shots and they missed the net.
But you missed the net on 24 of them.
Right. But tonight, I don't think they had that many shot attempts either, as many as game one.
Right. I mean, put it on net and get a rebound. I mean, that's how they scored the first goal of the series for them.
You're right.
Stamkos takes the shot, Cirelli gets the rebound, takes the shot, and then Hagel buries the rebound.
Like, yeah.
That's how you score in the playoffs. You know, it doesn't have to be pretty. There's no style points when it comes to playoff hockey.
Especially in overtime, but overall, that not even at all. So,
you know, they've got to figure out how they can generate more shots. Now, on home ice, you'll get last change. So now you can try to get Kucherov in point and more favorable matchups against defensemen. And you get to pick the, you know, which defensemen and which lines you want against whoever Florida puts out there. So we'll see how that impacts the series too.
Yeah, I mean, and Kucherov, obviously the whole reason, or not the whole reason, but a very, 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 very large reason why the Lightning are even here to begin with is because of him.
Mm-hmm.
But they're also not going to go very far without him. I know he's got technically 2 assists in this series, but he also seems off. I don't know, you know, I don't think it's anything physical. I don't know if it's a letdown from the Hart Trophy or the, you know, the race going all the way to the end, and maybe psychologically there's a letdown. I don't know what it is, but he doesn't seem like himself just watching him skate around.
I'm wondering, I mean, they're being very physical with him.
Yeah, and that's what they should
do. And he's been trying to be physical back.
That's not his thing, though.
And he had like 5 hits in game one.
Yeah.
Another 2 hits tonight. That, you know, I wonder if it's just throwing his game off a little bit. But,
right, that's what I'm saying. That's not his thing. Even if he does it well, it's not his thing.
But
he doesn't do
they're also going against one of the best teams in hockey who's got a tremendous forecheck. And, you know, so they just haven't spent as much time in the offensive zone, which is where he does his damage. Like, if you don't have the puck in your offensive zone that much, it's hard to beat Kucherov.
No, you're right. I mean, they've got, I mean, he's at his best when, and I know people think he's a power play merchant and he's not just that, but I mean, he's at his best when, yeah, they're playing catch and he's able to, you know, see the ice and make passes and then, you know, take a shot if there's a shot to be had. But yeah, right now it's just too hard. I mean, the Panthers are just really good at the style of play they play, and it's really, really, really tough. And I think it's as simple as that right now. I don't think the series is over or anything like that. That's not what I'm saying, but the Lightning are up against it here, and there's no question. I mean, if you look, well, I'll go ahead and do the numbers. If you look at history, and I didn't just look at teams down 2-0, because it matters to me if you're the higher seed down 2-0 after losing two at home, or if you're the lower seed and you lost the first two on the road. So in the exact situation the Lightning are in, teams down 2-0 with the first two games on the road, and meaning they're the lower seed, all time, there have been 294 instances of it. Teams in the Lightning's position are 34-260 all time. That's a 116 winning percentage, so about 11.5% of the time. Their game three record only of teams in the exact position the Lightning are in is 146-148, so almost 500. Now, the Lightning have a franchise, have done this twice, come back from down 2-0. They've done it once as the higher seed, which was in the 2003, actually the first playoff series they ever won, the 2003 first round against the Capitals, where they trailed 2-0 and then won four in a row. And then once as the lower seed, where they lost the first two in New York to the Rangers in the 2022 Eastern Conference Final, then didn't just come back to win the series, but won 4-2 and winning four in a row again. But they're 2-5 all time when they're down 2-0 in a series. So this core group of guys has done this before once in 2022. It's not ideal. I suppose it's doable, but you know, I don't know if they've ever, I mean, that Rangers team was really good. And if you, I can't even remember how I felt after that game two loss. Like, it wasn't that, it was only 2 years ago, but I don't remember. Like,
I just remember that all anybody ever talked about was Igor's better.
Yeah, that was, I do remember that for the whole series, even as the Lightning were coming back and winning four in a row. But yeah, I don't remember. I mean, I remember them coming home and thinking, okay, let's see what happens. I don't remember a lot of details about it, but I know this one feels as, you know, unlikely as any of them would have been. I hate to say it,
but I don't, we'll, I mean, but let's take it. I know, let's step back. These are 2-1 goal games.
You're right.
I mean, is I don't want to say poorly as the Lightning have played, because I don't think they played poorly, but as much as they've been outplayed in this series, both games were one goal games. And now you're coming to home ice for a pair.
Yeah.
Like, they didn't get blown out. You know, Florida, if the eye test tell you Florida was a better team, sure.
No question.
The advanced statistics tell you that Florida, you know, should have won the game? Okay, sure.
Once again, yes.
But it was, both of them are one goal games.
Like, that's true. I mean, you could look at it both ways. You could say, hey, they haven't really played all that well against a really good team, and they're still, you know, eking out these wins against them.
And now they get to come home. They get to control the matchups.
Yeah. It's not to be discounted.
And so, you know, it's like you said, everybody going into the series said, you know, these higher seeded teams didn't want to face the Lightning. And I think the Lightning are showing you in this series why that was true. I mean, the Lightning have not played their best game by far. And yet, to one of the best teams in hockey, Florida, they've only won by one goal each game. Now, credit to Florida, they've won them, and it doesn't matter how many you win them by, one or seven, it's still the same result. But you can't count the Lightning out. Is winning four out of five tough? Absolutely. Against that team? Yes, it is. Well, but the Lightning are in this series. You heard the John Cooper bite beforehand.
Oh yeah,
the series has gone back and forth. It's
I plan to watch on Thursday night. Let's put it that way. I didn't make other plans just because they're down 2-0. I mean, I'm going to be dialed in, or I'd be there actually. But like you said, I mean, it could be 2-2 by this weekend, and all of a sudden it's a whole different deal.
Mm-hmm.
And don't even think about any of that right now. Just, you know, we got game three coming up. It'll be Thursday night at 7 on TBS this time and live from Amalie Arena.
It's still on Bally's. It's on Bally's as well.
And yes, that's for sure. Yeah, I keep saying the network, but I mean, the first round. I watched the Bally feed this in the first round always. I did tonight, too.
I did, too.
Love Dorf. Love Brian Engblom. They've both been guests on this show before. Paul Kennedy and Dave Andrewchuk in the studio. I know we have a lot of listeners all over, so if you're not in the Bay Area, then yes, you can watch it on TBS.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're in the Bay Area, tune into Bally Sports Sun, and they should. You know, it's a busy night Thursday. We've got do the Rays play Thursday? Or are they off?
They're off. They have an off day
because we got the NFL draft Thursday night,
mm-hmm.
first round, and the Lightning play, and a bunch of other playoff games, not just the Lightning game. We got that going on. My kids got an orchestra concert and a Little League game, but they should all be done. I may like miss the first period, which I'm not happy about, but everything should be done, you know, by 8:30. But it's, yeah, there's going to be a lot going on there. If you're looking to go to the game, you can go to TampaBayLightning.com and check it out. If you want to just watch from the plaza, which is always fun and a really fun atmosphere, a big party atmosphere out mm-hmm. there, $5 tickets, you go online, you can get it done there on the Lightning website as well. And you can, you know, set up they have the little spots marked off and everything, and you can set everything up. And that's become a nice little tradition they've made out of that. And they project it on the side of the parking garage and everything. So it should be a lot of fun. And listen, you know, we hope this series ends up going 7 or, you know, at least 6 or 7. But we may only have 2 home games left at Amalie Arena this year. Maybe we have more. We don't know. We'll see. And I always say this, man. I mean, you can't take this stuff for granted. I know people are down right now. I have friends texting me and stuff. And not that the series is over, but even if they don't win this series, you know, there's 32 teams out there, man. You win 2 Stanley Cups, you get to the Stanley Cup final a third time in a row. They've won 3 Stanley Cups overall, and they've been in the Eastern Conference final like more often than not, literally, over the past decade. I mean, you know, that stuff doesn't last forever. And I know that because I grew up here and remember following these teams when they didn't even, you couldn't even spell the word playoffs. So I don't like to ever get it to where it feels routine, even though playoff appearances have become routine. So a home playoff game is a big deal. And we've got that Thursday and Saturday coming up these next few days. And it's a great chance to cut loose and have some fun, in my opinion.
Absolutely. I mean, look, this is the playoffs. And as much as anything else, you know to expect the unexpected. That's why we watch sports. That's why we love sports. And that's why the postseason, and particularly the first round of the Stanley Cup playoffs, is the most crazy.
Yeah.
Like, anything can happen. 2-0 deficits, can they be overcome? Absolutely.
And we see it every year. I mean, every year mm-hmm. we see some wild stuff. Hopefully we're the subject of some of the wild stuff this year, because it's going to take something wild for this to turn around. But yes, the only surprise is when there aren't any surprises. And I can't remember the last time there weren't any surprises. So game 3, Thursday, 7 o'clock, Amalie Arena or on Bally Sports Sun. Looking at a few other numbers, like I said before, the overtime record for the franchise now 22-20. Broken down, the Lightning are only 4-10 at home. This tonight wasn't at home. They've only won 4 overtime games ever at home. On the road now, 12-8 in overtime, 6-2 in the bubble. And as you heard probably many times after the game ended on the telecast, the losers of 6 straight playoff overtime games and 11 of the last 12. They are now 121-92 overall in all playoff games, down 2-0. 116 is the winning percentage of teams in the Lightning's position. They'll try and beat that. Looking at the overall playoffs, because I was curious to see the trends, always am. We haven't gotten to the point where the lower seeded teams have started playing home games yet. That'll start this week. But home teams now 10-4 in the 14 playoff games. So the higher seed now 10-4 in the playoff games played so far, including 2-0 in this series. First to score, always a big one. But in the 14 games, Steve, only 8-6 is the record of the team that scores first so far. We've had a few, the team scoring first and then still losing handily has happened a couple times, but then there was a couple wild comebacks. I didn't even check. Like, I gave up on the Islanders Carolina game the other day. Like, I was like, okay, yeah. Islanders are going to win one. It's going to tie it up, because I was watching other games and I was, you know, getting ready for bed. Woke up in the morning. I was like, oh, that series is, you know, 2-0. I thought that was going to be 1-1. And apparently Carolina went nuts there in the third period, mm-hmm. scored the game tying and game winning goals within a minute of each other. So the first to score usually is a lot more lopsided than 8-6. Although in this series, it's 2-0,
I
suppose.
And that's the other thing about this series, too, is the Lightning have lost 2-1 goal games.
Yep.
But they've never had the lead.
Haven't led yet. Had a chance tonight a few times. Couldn't get it.
But I mean, you know, you play with the lead, you play different. Everything changes because the other team, first of all, is pressing, which can give you some opportunities. But, you know, it's the confidence part, but, you know, just everything. Like, playing with the lead is important. And when you're constantly chasing the game, it's hard, which is what the Lightning have been for both these games. So you hope that, as they talked about going into game two needing a better start, they definitely need a better start for game three. Having a lead at some point in that game, particularly early, would be huge, I think.
I mean, it's not this way, but it feels like you're watching overtime sometimes the whole game. Like, I mean, tonight it wasn't the case. The Lightning did come back after being down 2-0, and they had a great chance to win. But I know when that puck drops on Thursday night, I'm going to be freaking out, like, from the first minute. Like, we've got to get the first goal here.
No question about it.
And, you know, even if they don't get the first goal, if they're playing better, that'll at least be something heartening. But no, they actually need to get the first goal too. I'd almost rather them get outplayed and still get the first goal if somehow. But there's another day to get ready for that. Looking at some of the other numbers here on the advanced stuff from game two last night, the overall expected goals in the game, 4.82 for the Panthers, 3.15 for the Lightning. If you know about the deserve to win a meter, it was 70.5% for the Panthers to 29.5% for the Lightning. That's basically, if you simulate the way that game went 1,000 times, as far as the chances and all the things that happen, the Panthers win that game 70% of the time. Of course, hockey's a funny sport, and the Lightning almost pulled it off with a chance to win in overtime that never came to pass. Looking at what worked for the Lightning, first of all, expected goals percentage just 5-on-5 only. Nobody on the Lightning was over 60%. Meanwhile, the Panthers had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 players over 65%, which kind of tells you a lot. But of the Lightning players, the best on the ice were Radish, who was the highest rated player at almost 60% of the expected goal share while he was out there. Point, Hedman, Kucherov, and Duclair are all above 50%. Everyone else was underwater. And we talked about Andrei Vasilevskiy and his efforts, which were really good, as he had an expected goals against of 4.8 while only allowing 3. Looking at the line combinations, and the Lightning ran with 11 forwards and 7 defensemen last night in the game. The Hagel, Stamkos, Cirelli line, not a good night for them. Almost a full goal under, or their expected goals against, almost a full goal greater than their expected goals for while they were out there. The Asamont, Paul Chaffee line out there almost as much as Hagel, Stamkos, Cirelli. They were about even on the night. And a pretty good night from the Duclair, Point, Kucherov line that saw 7-11 of ice time. No other line got more than 2 minutes. For the defensive pairings here, they really leaned, again, 7 defensemen. So Hedman and Radish were together, Lilleberg and Crozier were together, and then Chernak played with both DeHaan and Dumba. Hedman and Radish had a really solid game. They were above ground on expected goals percentage. Lilleberg and Crozier, not terrible, a little below even. And DeHaan and Chernak in only 8 minutes of ice time, also close to even. So the defensive pairings all, nobody had a really glaringly bad game there. But, you know, that doesn't take into account power plays either. And the Panthers had the power play goal. The Lightning also had one. The Lightning were 1-for-6. Now, I think they had one that was 4 seconds.
Yeah, both teams had a 4 second.
That was like,
both had a 4 second power play.
Right. So the Panthers had theirs and then the Lightning had theirs. But then the Lightning also had one that was like 46, I think, or something.
Yeah, 45, 49, something in that range. Yeah. Yep.
So, and they've gotten a power play goal in both. I mean, if you tell me before a game, you're going to get a power play goal, like one power play goal. I mean, that's, you know, you can't ask for more than that. I mean, hopefully you get 2 or 3, but it's not usually how it goes.
And once again, in regulation, 5-on-5, it was a 1-1 game.
Right.
Just like game one. Now, right, overtime, so, it was 5-on-5 as well. So, I guess in 5-on-5 play, you could say it was 2-1. But in regulation, in the first 60 minutes, another 1-1 game in 5-on-5 play.
Yeah, and a power play goal each, and it was the same as game one, although the Lightning's in game one came very late after the game felt like it was decided. Either way, we do this show. It's called Lightning Playoff Rewind because we want to come here and like kind of be therapeutic, but once it's over, that's it. So now we're looking ahead to game three on Thursday. Lay out the schedule for us with a 7 o'clock face-off here on the Lightning Audio Network. Steve, what do we got looking ahead to the rest of today and tomorrow?
Well, today there'll be John Cooper and a couple players will have press conferences. The Lightning will have the day off today. as far as practice and that. But there'll be some media avails. Then there'll be a morning skate on Thursday. Pre-game radio pregame show will start at 6:30, as does the Bally's pregame show on television as well. Puck drop scheduled for 7:10 p.m. Just as an FYI, I have seen a video that the Lightning Vision crew has put together going through the playoff history of the Lightning.
Okay.
It is fantastic and will be shown to the game in bowl.
That, you know, and I know they probably will release it too, so you can watch it if you're not at the game. That's the stuff that gets me going, you know, because I'm a lifer. I'm a Tampa native.
Yep.
So, like, I go back to, like I said, 96. Like, I was there, you know, in 96. So you start going to the historical stuff. That's where you start to, you know, pluck my guitar strings.
So I got a sneak peek of the video. You will love it.
Yeah, that's up my alley, man.
This you will be geeking out over it. It is that good, that well done, as everything Lightning Vision does. But it is spectacular. So that'll be shown before the game on Thursday to get the crowd pumped up.
I'm pumped up for that already. Even though I'm down about the 2-0 deficit, and I was already excited about Game 3, but now I'm like looking forward to Game 3 just because of that. Whatever happens after that will probably be a bonus. But I'm excited for that, so that's cool. Okay, good. See, this is what we need. We need stuff like that. So go to the game if you have a chance. If you want to go in the plaza, go to the plaza. I always say this. I say this on my podcast, I do it with the Bucks too. You know, use these as an opportunity to get together with friends. They don't come along very often. For all the hockey there is, it's a long season. There's only a handful of nights, unless even if you go really far, there's only a handful of nights every year in a 365-day year where there's a playoff team, a playoff game that your favorite team's playing in. And Thursdays are real. Actually, I am going to have people over because I always have a big party for the NFL draft anyway with a bunch of my friends come over. And now the Lightning are playing too. So we're going to get the two double TVs fired up. We're going to get the outside TV out back by the pool. It's going to be a scene. I would go to the game, but this one, I'm going to be there Saturday. I think Thursday I would be getting there too late anyway. Either way, we will have Lightning Playoff Rewind coming at you again on Friday morning at 9 a.m., hopefully talking about a 2-1 series. So in the meantime, Steve, it's been fun. Follow Steve at Steve Versnick on Twitter, right? I have that. That's your handle, right?
That's correct.
And then at Bolts Radio, you can follow the Lightning Audio Network. I'm Bobby Gameday. If you follow me, BobbyGameday at Bobby Gameday on Twitter, Threads, whatever else, Instagram, if you want to see pictures of my kids, travel baseball, whatever it is, we're all out there. We are not going to shrink back. We are not going to stand down. We're going to get ready. It could be 2-0 Lightning. It wouldn't change anything. It's 2-0 Panthers. 1-1 doesn't matter. Game 3, Thursday night. So I'll see you then, Steve. It's been fun, buddy.
You got it.
All right. Let's get ready. Everybody, take a deep breath. Clear out your minds. Get your minds right. The negative energy is fine today. That's what we're here for. That's why we do this show. But get your minds right for Thursday night. Come ready. I know the Lightning will. I know the Panthers will, too. And let's have some fun. Until then, good morning, good afternoon, good night, and wherever you are, let's go Lightning.